Hi, I'm Simon Campbell.
And I'm Susie Starlight of the Starlight Campbell Band.
Welcome to the Supertone Show.
Naked as sin, an army towel covering my belly. Some of us blush, somehow knees turning to jelly. Next. I was still just a kid, there were 100 like me. I followed a naked body followed me. Next. I was still just a kid when my innocence was lost in a mobile army whorehouse, gift of the army, free of cost. Next, you're next, me. I really would have liked a little touch of tenderness, maybe a word, just a smile, some instant happiness. But no, next. Oh, it wasn't so tragic, the high heavens didn't fall, but how much at that time I hated being there at all. Next. Now I always will recall the brothel truck, the flying flags, the queer lieutenant who slapped our asses as if we were fags. Next, you're next. I swear on the wet head of my first case of gonorrhea, it's his ugly voice that I forever hear. Next, that voice that stinks of corpses, of whiskey and of mud. It is the voice of nations, that thick voice of blood. Next. And since then, each woman I've taken to bed seems to laugh in my arms and a whisper through my head. Next. All the naked and the dead should hold each other's hands as they watch me scream at night in a dream no one can understand. Next. And when I'm not screaming in a voice grown dry and hollow, I stand on endless naked lines of the following and the followed. Next. One day I'll cut my legs off and burn myself alive. Anything, I'll do anything to get out of line just to survive. A never to be next. Oh, never to be next. Next.
Scott Walker and Next from the album Scott 2, released in 1968.
Unbelievable. Because the lyric is so edgy. I mean, for 1968, it must have blown people out. But it's an old song, isn't it, though?
Yeah, it was written by Jacques Brel.
Ah, Jacques Brel.
The man that is everywhere. You lift a stone as Jacques Brel, because everybody was influenced by this man.
He was.
And it was the translation from French was done by a guy called Mort Schumann, who wrote Viva Las Vegas.
No, is that right?
Yeah. And also wrote Shalalalali with Kenny Lynch for the Small Faces.
Well, there you go.
Indeed. But going back to Jacques Brel, he's so much of an influence, you know.
Yeah.
And with Scott.
David Bowie.
Exactly. Now, this was released in 68, and then in 1970... David Bowie, who we know was influenced by Scott, and also he's already said that in many an interview.
Yeah.
He started singing some Jacques Brel on a Jean Peel show. So Jean Peel, Jacques Brel. I am turning the French way. This is making me feel very romantic.
Good.
And melodic.
Yes, excellent. See? Work. That's very, very good.
Yeah.
We have got a show to do, darling.
I know, indeed. So anyway, Scott Walker signed to the best label. 4AD, one of the best.
Yeah, and an old mate of mine who used to play guitar in The Disciples, along with me, Ed Horrocks, is the MD, CEO.
Indeed.
Lovely fella.
It's all
great
family.
Great taste. Yeah, it's all... But the first time I heard this track was, it was the sensational Alex Harvey Band, and I remember seeing him on the Old Grey Whistle Test, and I thought, what the hell is this? And it came from that great album. I think it was Snake Charmer. I can't remember the name of that very famous song. It'll come back to me in a minute.
Okay. Wow.
But it was an amazing performance. And then when I heard this later on, you know, because I started to get into Scott Walker myself, sort of, you know,
Well, we're playing a lot of Scott at the moment, aren't we, when we're having lunch? We just can't resist. But I keep on sneaking up the vinyl. It's like, we'll have Scott, Scott too. And just, it reminds me, I feel like I'm living, it puts me into a space of like a musical theatre. And I can almost see my mum in the kitchen. I feel like there's an era with it. It's sort of transports me somewhere.
Well, yeah, and his vocal is such a great dramatic. He's got a lovely baritone voice, that great vibrato, swamped in reverb.
But it's like the sunshine at the moment. It looks bright outside on a beautiful day, but it's still cold.
Mm.
And there's that juxtaposition where you think it's going to be warm and it's not. And with me, this style of this song, it's all very beautiful and everything's correct and everybody's polite.
Mm.
And then it's talking about gonorrhea and lots of other things I'm not going to talk about. You can listen to the lyrics yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's just odd that it's clothed in such a beautiful sort of creamy, toffee, tonal, baritonal voice of Scott's. And it's hard-hitting lyrics that really kick you in the belly, you know?
Dead right. Faith Healer, that's it. It's just come back to me. Alex Harvey Band, Faith Healer. That's off that album as well. Great record.
Next.
Don't Free, Fire and Water, from the album Fire and Water.
Their third studio album by then.
It was. Recorded at Trident Studios.
Trident.
Yes, with Roy Thomas Baker producing. He went on to produce Queen later on, of course.
Cool.
Marvellous. Marvellous track. Marvellous album. Of course, it's got Mr. Big on it. It's got All Right Now on
it. Mr. Big?
Yeah. Oh, yes, Mr. Big. Yeah, we know you love that song.
I do love that song. Yeah.
All About the Bass. But, you know, great, tremendous amount of power, soul, very laid back. Very groovy, you know?
That's a skill, to be really laid back.
Mm. Definitely. Yeah, yeah. Because a lot of bands, they couldn't get that. It's a British band, but they had that sort of black swagger about them, if you know what I mean. Mm. They really got that. And,
yeah.
And Kossoff, I mean, people talk about Kossoff and they say he's a bit of a one-trick pony in terms of his guitar. And, you know, his solos, I think, were because he does repeat lines.
You can hear it. Yeah.
But it was his rhythm playing and it was his actual song composition and the composition of his guitar rhythm that really did it for me. Amazing. He used, you know, an awful lot of just fifths and roots and stuff, and he made that huge sound, you know. And it's very difficult to emulate unless you've actually seen him. You know, when you see him on YouTube, you can actually see what he's doing or was doing. But it's very difficult to find out by just listening to it because it's quite tricky, you know?
Well, they were known for their sort of sensational, kind of fantastic live performances, weren't they?
Mm.
The band. So it's just like, I'd love to have seen them live.
Well, indeed. I think the best one is that there's a video on YouTube of them at Granada Studios in Manchester.
Yeah.
And they do the stuff from this album, and it is absolutely fantastic. Yeah.
The one thing as well, which has really struck me when I was looking into this album, so the guys, they played their first gig on the 19th of April in 1968 at the Nag's Head Pub. At the junction of York Road and Plough Road in Battersea, London.
Mm.
Okay, so you get that bit. Andy Fraser, bass, age 15. Paul Kossoff, age 17.
No.
Guitar. Paul Rogers, singer, 18. Simon Kirk, cool, badass, laid-back drummer, 18.
Well. You know,
that's young band,
and obviously really, really talented right from the word go, because they just had it. Because even when they recorded that, so was that 2 years later? Was it?
Oh yeah, yeah, it would have been.
That's right.
It was 2 years later.
Yeah, so 2 years later, and they recorded that. What an amazing thing! What an incredible achievement! You know,
it is. And apparently, Alexis Corner gave them the name Free.
Hmm.
Which is cool, because, of course, Andy went to art college, Andy Fraser, with his daughter, if I recall correctly.
Is that right?
And it was Alexis Corner who recommended Andy join the band.
Wow.
See? It's who you know.
Absolutely.
Friends again. But I love that band, and they're so dynamic.
Mm. And the songs as well, that's the thing about Free, is that they wrote great songs.
Yeah.
You know, Paul Rogers, he went on and continued to, you know, to write great songs. But a lot of them were co-written, actually, with Andy Fraser.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Andy was a hugely talented bass player and songwriter as well.
But we talk about this a lot because of your bass exodus, you know, your odyssey, I should say, not exodus, odyssey. And, you know, Andy clearly got everything he knew from Jack Bruce, because
yeah.
He used the same bass, he used the same bass rig, you know, short scale, he had that same sound, overdriven, very, very powerful, you know. But, you know, to me, I think he's actually better than Jack Bruce, in my humble opinion.
It's odd, though, because I know Jack Bruce had a jazz experimental thing going on with Cream, and he's harder. Jack felt harder, and I think he was very intense. And Andy, I think, had a more melodic kind of relaxed. He was soft, more soft,
yeah.
And melodic in a way that you would sing. Whereas Jack's quite intense and quite They are different characters. You can feel that definitely in their playing.
But there's a lot of similarity in terms of, you know, the sound and what they do.
Oh, yeah.
But marvellous band. And I think that the hero out of all of them is actually Simon Kirk, because he is the one that keeps that groove.
Dude.
And it looks like he's beating the hi-hat to death. His arm's right up and he's smacking it. He's got his head down. And it's so slow to keep a tempo like that.
Yeah.
You know, remarkable.
Robert Johnson and Sweet Home Chicago.
Mm, one of the originals, great blues artists, you know?
Indeed, recorded in 1936.
Yeah.
36.
Mm.
That's incredible.
Well, it is. And didn't we have Memphis Minnie on a couple of weeks ago?
Where was she from?
And you nearly got me again.
Yeah, exactly.
Then.
You got me, sunshine. I remember that. I do remember that.
But
yes.
It was about the same time.
Yeah, yeah.
It really was, and so early. But he didn't actually write this song per se. He's credited for it, but it came from other things. It was like a bit of a hodgepodge of different people's ideas, yeah?
Yeah, and you know, every time you look into something, you can find all this. I'm bored of all that because, you know, this is I just feel like I want to enjoy the music at this point, because everybody's borrowed and been influenced by, and, you know, that's human. Human life.
They certainly have. Of course, the song made supremely famous by the Blues Brothers.
Of course.
Yeah.
Love that. Great. Love that so much. One other bit of triv, though. It was recorded in room 414 of the Gunter Hotel in San Antonio, Texas.
Well, I didn't know that.
Indeed.
Beautiful.
Clock in the night. You walk out the door. tonight. I say I saw you kissing Jimmy across the fence. Trick bag. When I come home, start an argument just to keep me from asking where my voodoo went. I peek out the front door, I hear the back door slam. Peep out of my window, somebody's taking on the I say I saw you kissing Jimmy across the fence. I heard you telling Jimmy I ain't got no sense. The way you've been acting is such a drag. You done put me in a trick bag. Son-in-law, I say I saw you kissing Jimmy across the fence. I heard you telling Jimmy I ain't got no sense. The way you've been acting is such a drag. You done put me in a trick bag.
Robert Palmer, Trick Bag.
What is going on with that song? Talk about Trick Bag, as in like the timing it fries my head.
Well, it does. It fries my head. I've actually tried to play it a few times. Just
it's magnificent.
It is. It's great, you know. And it's actually, of course, a blues. That's what it is. Basically a 12-bar blues written by Earl King.
Indeed. He's a New Orleans jazz. Sorry, I swore.
Oh, nice. Yeah, but yeah. He wrote it. But the arrangement is fiendishly good. Fiendishly good. And, of course, produced by the mighty Bernard Edwards.
Of Chic.
Tony Thompson on drums, of Chic.
Andy Taylor from Duran Duran on guitar.
Yeah. I can't hear much guitar in that, a little bit. But there's, and, of course, Robert Palmer played a lot of the keyboards.
Well, he was on the album, yeah.
Yeah, and you know, I've always loved Robert Palmer because when he was with Vinegar Joe, you know, he was great with Elkie Brooks, who we've got on later on, as it happens.
Indeed.
And, it was a really, really great album for him because it really... it was very 80s sounding, but his voice really started to get there, and he was had a lot of passion, you know. And I love Riptide, you know, the title track, and it's a good album to get your head around. Beautiful.
He's a bit complex, Robert Palmer. He's not actually straight to understand because his musical influences. I mean, in 1970, he was in a 12-piece jazz rock fusion band called Dada. And he loved reggae, and he moved in different and lived in different parts of the world. He was in America, then he went to the Bahamas, and his musical influences, and you could see him with. Whenever I see Robert Palmer, I feel that he was struggling and wrestling, like, you know, like with things and. Really, he had energy.
Yeah, I was very sad when he died, actually.
I know, I can't believe that.
Yeah, you know, it's one of those things. I always remember listening to, I saw an interview on TV with him, and he was talking about writing Johnny and Mary, which is one of his big hits, of course. And he said he wrote it in a hurricane, and he actually played the demo, and you could hear the wind in the background, and you just had this this synth going as a sequence in the background, and that was it. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do, you know. Yeah. Absolutely great, you know. Great inspiration to me.
And also, as well, if you think about it, there's that kind of David Byrne Talking Heads thing going on as well, because he was very much later on in his career, the visual artistry,
yeah,
with all the sort of models and the makeup.
Well, he was the first one to do it, because that Addicted to Love, wasn't it? That was it. And, you know, it was like a dramatic thing, because he was a good-looking guy, and he always wore suits, and very dapper, wasn't he? You know, and he always did that. And those girls in the background, it was a great, you know, it was a great visual statement.
The first time I ever heard him play, actually, was I was watching... Do you remember that TV show, OTT? It was Late Night with Chris Tarrant.
I do indeed.
Well, I remember watching that show, and he was on singing Some Guys Have All the Luck. And I just sat there glued to the TV, just go, oh my God, I love this song. And I went down to my local record shop, Ross Records, Andy Meek, and bought and ordered it, actually.
Fantastic.
7-inch single, vinyl.
Well, time signatures, hand it to your man.
Yeah, trick bag.
Straight line you had, we wouldn't have
Mr. Fantasy, Traffic, featuring Stevie Winwood and Jim Capaldi. Amazing, great song. I'll tell you one thing though, listening to it with headphones on, it messes with your head bad because there's obviously there's a lot of stuff going on in the mix there and things are swinging around in the mix. It made me feel a bit dizzy in the middle of it actually. And at the end, the producer, because we did a podcast on the producer, Jimmy Miller, did we not?
Yes, we did, indeed.
And he got his maracas out on that, I believe, at the end of the session. He went into the studio.
Literally
got his maracas out and dived into the studio and waving him about furiously. And you can hear him at the end, and it built the track up to a tremendous climax at the end there.
What's interesting about this, though, is that the engineer was Phil Brown.
Phil Brown, our friend Phil Brown.
Indeed.
Well, Phil Brown, and I've got his book here. Are We Still Rolling? I'm about to read it right now. I'm going to start reading it. But Phil, remarkable engineer, been in the industry a long time, and he said that his favourite memory in the whole of his recording career was recording this at 1 o'clock in the morning.
That's yeah, amazing. November at 1967.
Olympic, my favourite studio again.
What is
yeah,
it?
Yeah, with the Helios desk, you know, Led Zeppelin, all these great songs were done at the Olympic. And now it's a wine bar and a block of flats, and I think they've got a little theatre in there as well. Tragedy.
Yeah, but I'll tell you what, what made me smile at the end of that song as well is that they just go to the and it's almost like they can't help. Everybody, it's like everyone's jamming.
Well, that's exactly what happened, and that's what he says, doesn't he?
Yeah. And we. I know you kind of think of it structured, but it doesn't feel that way.
No, it's a beautiful recording.
It's joy.
You know, and the other thing I just wanted to mention is Stevie Winwood's guitar, because he played lead guitar on that. So not only does he sing, Spencer Davis Group, he can play a fantastic Hammond organ, and he can play a very, very mean lead guitar.
Stevie Winwood, you
More
know.
More fuzz, of course, on that.
Fuzz.
Yeah, fuzz. He's remarkable. What a musician, you know? What an artist.
You could have been an army. The way you broke through my life. You could have been a hurricane, the way you blew my mind. You could have been an angel. You made me feel so fine. Could have been the Navy. It could have been the whole damn fleet. It could have been a tidal wave. The way he swept me off my feet. He could have been an angel. You know the boy he was so sweet.
Could have been an army by the mighty Elkie Brooks, who I didn't know came from Broughton in Salford.
She certainly did.
Good girl.
One of the queens of the British blues.
Incredible.
Vinegar Joe with Robert Palmer, we had on earlier on.
Yeah.
And this was a big budget record. And when I mean big budget, the whole album, it's produced by Lieber and Stoller, right? That, and that's just to say that Lieber and Stoller is even associated or in the same precinct as the album is big, but they actually produced it. It's got Jean Russell on keyboards, who played with Cat Stevens, Everything You
No
Do
way.
Is Magic with the Police, yeah. Very great keyboard player. And of course, the mighty.
I know what you're going to say.
James Gadson on drums.
Oh,
our favourite drummer in the whole world.
Indeed. You know what? And I've got to confess, I needed a Gadson fix. So I chose this song. And when I found out that he'd played on this song with Elkie, I'm like, oh, gonna have this one. So gonna have some Gadson.
And it's, I mean, it's a great song. It's kind of dated in a way. But, you know, when she starts singing, the brokenness of her voice, no reverb. No reverb, it is totally dry, and you get the full feeling, you know. And then she starts to open up at the end, and the bloody Tower of Power horns, because it was done at the record plant in Los Angeles, so every bugger's on there, every man and his dog, every top session musician in LA is on there somewhere.
Isn't that incredible? It is. And yeah. I'll tell you what, it makes me want to now. I'm going to go and find out more about and play some more Elkie Brooks albums, I think, because I really love her tonal quality. I think she's cool. And it's like, I know she was like a wild woman of rock, because what happened was the two singles before this were a bit middle of the road. And I think, you know, they kind of funked this one up, and you can tell because they got Gadson in. I mean, he's the groove.
Yeah.
He's just got that groove. And But it's like, you know, obviously the classics like Pearl's a Singer. I've got some friends. I remember Sarah Hawkins in Manchester. She absolutely loved Elkie. And she was like, she went to go and see her live. I'm thinking, why are you going to go and see Elkie Brooks? And she just loved her. And now, all these years later, I'm thinking, I so get it. I get her more than I ever have done before. Great. You can't make that tonal quality in a voice, can you? It is a gift.
And the understatement of a vocal as well, the way that she undersings, you know, and she cuts notes off, you know, none of this extended wailing or vocal acrobatics. It's just tone and feel, and it's beautiful.
All power to Elkie Brooks.
All power to Elkie.
And thanks to the Gadsden Fix. Yeah. Cheers, James. You're listening to The Supertone Show with Susie Starlight and Simon Campbell of the Starlight Campbell Band. Little Richard, Lucille.
Unbelievable. The start of rock and roll.
Can I do that again?
Yeah.
No, no. Carry on. I mean, like, Lucille! Sorry.
Holy moly!
You can't just say it. Suddenly, it's just so flat, I couldn't just do it the normal way.
Well, incredible. Lemmy's favourite rock star.
I did not know that.
Yeah, we watched Lemmy.
I can't remember.
A few months ago. Again.
Some things you just forget.
We watched a few times, and I think he was in the studio, and I think we were talking about him. He said he was the original rock and roller, and he is the man. He changed it all.
Was that when he was talking to Billy Bob Thornton in the pub on that film shoot?
I think you're right, yeah. And it's, you know, but what a voice, because he really was the template for proper rock and roll, you know. I mean, if you listen to his voice, doesn't it sound a bit like Robert Plant to you? Does it sound like, you know, all that sort of thing where they're really, really giving it with, because that wasn't happening. It was all crooning and all that sort of stuff, you know, the Nat King Cole and all those guys kind of around.
Scott Walker type.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden, this guy just rips the arse out of the whole gig, you know, and he's out there and he's prancing around, you know. And of course, he was black at that stage, and you know, I mean, and black artists at that time, you know, they were completely sidestepped, sidelined, and for him to power through like he did.
Well, remarkable. We're talking 1957 there as well, you know. So it was released on Specialty Records, and this is how far back, on 78 RPM.
No.
See.
Flipping heck.
See. Incredible, isn't it? Can I just say something as well? I just want to make this announcement. Little Richard is still alive.
He was. No.
Yes. Now, he's one of these guys where you don't think he's still with us. He is 86. He was born on the 5th of December, 1932. I've checked this out. There's no.
That's incredible.
He's still with us. So he's one of these people you just think, oh, you know, he's so far back. He's still alive.
That is remarkable.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I hid that from you because I knew that I had a sense that you might think he, like me, that he'd passed.
Yeah.
No,
well,
but
I killed
Glenn
Jones off a couple of years ago because I thought he was dead. I'm very sorry.
But I know.
It was very easy to do, actually.
So, yeah, so Little Richard's still kicking the ass out of it. He might not be performing now, but he's still here. And that, as you say, was like the beginning of rock.
Yeah.
Rock.
Diego Garcia, a.k.a. El Twanguero. And that, what a talent.
That song was called Speedy Garcia. Yeah. Obviously, quite personal.
Very speedy. Holy moly. We saw him twice in Valencia, and what a player. Very accurate, big-bodied, Gibson with P90, small amp. Great, great. And Wangbury, which used a lot, you know, it's had a Bigsby on it.
Yeah.
Fantastic guitar player and great songs, you know.
Yeah, we went with Angle Vela, didn't he? Because he's a friend of Diego's, because he taught him guitar for a while.
He sure did, that's right, yeah.
Yeah, you've got to check out El Twanguero.
Fantastic.
Hugely talented. You do know now it's the end of the show with your favourite song.
Well, it's my favourite album. Live album of all time, yeah. Deep Purple, Made in Japan.
That's 1972.
Yeah. And
what's so special about it for you?
Well, what's so special about it is incredibly tight. There was no editing done afterwards. I mean, what they did is they recorded a number of different shows and obviously picked the best from the shows, but it's just beautiful. Blackmore's guitar playing is exceptional. He's a brilliant player. His sound is incredible. Mm. And then John Lord, Ian Paice, every one of them is fantastic. And this track is featuring John Lord, Lazy. So, you know,
wow.
It is just the best live album in the whole world, I think. I love it.
Okay, so we're going to play you out with Lazy by Deep Purple, and thanks for joining us on the Supertone Show.
So you can find us on Mixcloud, Spotify, iTunes, and iHeartRadio.
Indeed, and also we're on Twitter at Susie, S-U-Z-Y, at Susie and Simon.
All good. See you next time.
See you later. We'll be right back.
Thank you.